and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou Lord of mine.
Welcome back
to thy tribes on Sinai.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. And we're dealing with the question, is The Chosen television series biblical? Is it biblically orthodox? Is it edifying? Is it honoring and glorifying to God? Dallas Jenkins certainly thinks so. I disagree wholeheartedly, and I have framed the first hour, really kind of yesterday's broadcast and today's, around centering around the controversy that arose over this I Am the Law of Moses statement that they even chose to include in the season 3 trailer. Folks say, well, you know, this is quoting the Book of Mormon, not directly, it's, you could say, an allusion to or whatever. That was denied. I think the bigger issue is that Jesus would never say that, which is why I'm addressing that. I never heard anybody say that. I heard, they're quoting the Book of Mormon. We might make that, might draw that parallel, but that was denied. No, that wasn't what we were doing. Dallas Jenkins himself said that. We weren't doing that. I think the more important issue is that Jesus would never say that. Never say that. There's a juxtaposition. Jesus is superior to the law of Moses. The law came in for a specific purpose we'll get to. You can read it yourself in Galatians chapter 3. But before we do that, again, the housekeeping to begin the hour. So RBN will be closed in observance of Christmas and New Year's, taking time off for a long winter's nap, resting up to watch the ball drop and so on, being somewhat facetious. In observance of Christmas, RBN will be closed for business December 23rd through December 26th, and then also the following week in observance of New Year's, closed January 1 and January 2. Perhaps you've heard we're having a book drive, RBN's John Stabmiller book drive. Now through January 8th, donate $100 plus for an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller himself. That's a great gift idea, I think. And entrants who do not win a book will carry over into next week's drawing. So the sooner you donate, the greater your odds of winning. So you can pass that special book to that special someone. Passing on the gift of knowledge, not propaganda. Winners are announced every Sunday evening during hour two of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkins, 8 p.m. Central. How can you say it's not propaganda? Well, I would say in the cases that I've seen so far, the difference between propaganda and information leading to knowledge in this case is specifically the intent. The intent of propaganda is nefarious. It is intended to present information in a skewed or slanted way to lead one to a certain conclusion and is thus manipulative. And these books were written by authors who simply want to shine a bright light on those kinds of efforts. For example, the efforts to mislead and deceive one's fellow man as though one is somehow superior to one's fellow man, which is not the case. And those folks are always, you know, in league with the devil, along the lines of what Jesus speaks of in John chapter 8. Congratulations to previous winners, Robert in California, Tyler in Ohio, David in Montana, Ingrid Castle, Gary in California, and Sharon in Kansas. Did I mention Sharon in the first hour? I don't think I did. I apologize. Last week's winner, congratulations to Sharon. This week's book, week six, the week six book is, I see what the problem is. That doesn't work. You got to be in the right deal. See, that's how you announce the wrong movie. Anyway, yeah, week six book is The Web of Debt, The Shocking Truth About Our Money System and How We Can Break Free, published in 2008 by Ellen Hodgson Brown. So, you know, a few other things that I was going to do too. And by the way, to learn more about the book, obviously visit republicbroadcasting.org for details. There is the countdown, the Holy Day Countdown. You know, I'm a paradox, studying controversy or whatever. Maybe I'm a hypocrite. I don't think so. But in this sense, I am. I'm sure I am in many senses. But speaking of the Holy Day, I have long appreciated Midnight Mass service. You know, there's a little mission church, a little mission spot in Santa Barbara, for example, that is a place that I've appreciated Midnight Mass. And there are other similar places. You know, places like St. Al's in Spokane used to be a wonderful place. You know, you go at midnight. It's the day before Christmas, you know, and a lot of people do family gatherings on Christmas Eve, obviously. And, you know, you have Christmas morning, which the kids are all excited about, and you do family gatherings after that. You know, maybe you do a brunch or a Christmas dinner or something with family. And so it's an exciting moment. And I stand by what I said yesterday. There is no "and this." There is no, you know, if you practice a religion that calls itself Christianity, but it's Christianity and this guy or that guy or this book or that book, that's idolatry, plain and simple. You know, if we can't put those other things down, if God finds us clutching those other things and we can't do it, even though we feel the urge and the compelling of the Holy Spirit, hey, the gentle, you know, still small voice, so that thing. And the Holy Spirit has a funny way of doing that, you know. It's so loud, even though it's silent. Hey, so what's going on with that thing over there? Sure like that thing, don't you? Oh, I love you, Lord. Yeah. Well, let's go over here. You know, why don't you put that down so you can grab something over here? And my hands are full. I can't grab anything else. I'm holding on to this. It's a funny thing. Anyway, I've always appreciated Midnight Mass because at certain places, it used to be, I don't know, it seems like even that's changing. You know, one of the things that I valued is the fact that these folks have held on to I would say the spirit of the season, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It's a quiet moment at midnight. The young people show up dressed to the nines. I'm talking about the little guys who, you know, mama's holding or daddy's holding, and they're snoozed while, you know, Everything's going on and it's peaceful and it's still. And sometimes there's the freshly fallen snow or it's even snowing. This to me is a beautiful picture of, you know, when we have a quiet moment all together, no one's speaking, you know, except for maybe someone's doing a reading. And we're all, maybe we sing a little bit, we're all prayerfully considering what's going on. And it is, you know, an expectant moment. And the expectation is for the Son of God, for Jesus Christ himself. That's the expectation. It's such a peaceful and pure moment, I think. You know, there's none of the chaos and insanity, and it just looks so beautiful. I always appreciate it. Anyway, if that makes me a hypocrite, so be it, I guess. I'm not saying I worship it or that I can't live without it, but to me it is the kind of the spirit of the season, that moment. So, 12 days until Christmas and 19 days until New Year's, and more specifically, I mean, if we're going to be, you know, pin it down, 11 days, 13 hours, 47 minutes and change until Christmas, and 18 days, 13 hours and 47 minutes and change until New Year's. So it's, we're getting close. I mentioned in the first hour that I goofed up last week, and I announced Steel Magnolias as the movie on Tuesday, and then quickly trod it asunder. Joyeux Noël, I think, is a better choice for last Tuesday, so that stands. But Steel Magnolias is the movie for this Tuesday. And like I said, you know, it's like my grandfather used to say, the best thing about Alzheimer's is that you meet so many new and interesting people every day. So that's fun. A few other things that I thought about mentioning while we're at it. Fun facts. On this day, December 13, throughout history, on this day, 1972 Apollo program, Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt begin the third and final extravehicular activity, which sounds strange in today's, you know, extravehicular activity, or moonwalk. Michael Jackson wasn't with them. Of Apollo 17 to date, they are the last humans to set foot on the moon. That's an interesting statement. You know, we can't go to the moon anymore because it's, you know, it's hard. It's expensive, and we got rid of this. With all of our fancy, you know, you can, we are told essentially that all of the computing power of NASA and Cape Canaveral and so forth, you could fit on a Raspberry Pi today. But, you know, it's expensive and it's hard. And yeah, we got rid of all that technology, so we can't do that anymore. Anyway, as the story goes, Apollo 17, Eugene Cernan and Harrison Schmitt, last humans to set foot on the moon. That's the story anyway. The Van Allen belt. That's, you know, that's hard now too. It wasn't hard in 1972, but now it is. 2003, Iraq War, Operation Red Dawn. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein and frenemy, you know, old time frenemy, pal of Rummy and friends, was captured near his hometown of Tikrit. 2007, the Treaty of Lisbon is signed by the EU member states to amend both the Treaty of Rome and the Maastricht Treaty, which together form the constitutional basis of the EU. Treaty of Lisbon is effective from December 1, 2009. So the Maastricht Treaty is an interesting subject this time of year, sort of. Maybe we'll come back to that later. Born on this day, Dick Van Dyke, 1925. Ben Bernanke, 1953. Steve Buscemi, 1957. Jamie Foxx, not his real name, not his given name. 1967, Amy Lee. 1981, Ricky Fowler, a PGA golfer despite all the shenanigans, born on this day in 1988. Died on this day, Maimonides, back in 1204. Controversial figure, I've talked about him, speaking of the Kabbalistic influence. Donatello in 1466, the Italian painter and sculptor. Johannes Trithemius, German cryptographer and historian, also another esoteric figure. Samuel Johnson, the English poet and lexicographer, died in 1784 on this day. 1931, Gustave Le Bon, French psychologist, sociologist, and anthropologist. Mr. Crowdthink himself, Mr. Herdthink, died on this day in 1931. 1947, Nicholas Roerich, Russian archaeologist, painter, philosopher, and all-around theosophist, another esoteric figure, a lot of esoteric figures in this list. 2006, Lamar Hunt, American businessman, co-founded the American Football League and World Championship Tennis. Bread and Circuses, Lamar Hunt. And in 2016, Alan Thicke died on this day. So there you go. Those are some fun facts. Back into the other stuff. Finally, just minutes before we head into a break, Galatians chapter 2. To finish that thought, this again is addressing the controversy specifically. Well, first the question, is the Chosen television series biblical? I would say no. Simple answer, no. And this is, you know, specifically dealing with the I am the law of Moses controversy. Is it quoting the Book of Mormon? I don't really care. That's not the bigger issue. The bigger issue is Jesus would never say that. And it's important to understand why. And I think it's, I mean, I have not seen everything that's published on YouTube, certainly, or other places, but I've not seen or heard where anyone addressed that aspect of this issue. And there are others, many other controversies that persist with this television series. And as I mentioned during yesterday's broadcast, perhaps the greatest among them, the most comprehensive certainly, is the video, you can find it on YouTube, titled The Chosen Exposing, the full documentary exposing darkness and bringing the light of Christ. Almost 6 hours long. And really unpacks a multitude of controversies that you, this one video has been mentioned in other videos as, you know, being a source for addressing these various and sundry controversies. So there's that. Anyway, when we come back, I will get back into this I am the law of Moses thing and why Jesus would never say that. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is really is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Shall come to thee, O Israel, Israel.
Welcome back. All right, so before dive back into Galatians, let me just say this. A lot of the commentary that I hear about the chosen is, oh, it's so familiar. It makes Jesus familiar. Makes him, you know, basically what people are saying is it brings him down to our level, so to speak. And that's not a good thing. Jesus is not. The Bible says, be holy. You know, we are called to be holy, even as he is holy, which means set apart. Not familiar. Familiar is a bad thing. What do you mean? Examples, Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20, verse 6. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go a whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Leviticus 20, verse 27, a man also or a woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Deuteronomy 18:11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Again, that's exactly what Jonathan Rumi is. Posted on social media. You know, we should pray to these dead saints. That's necromancy. You know, Mr. Knight Templar, Knights of the Sovereign Military Order of the Temple of Jerusalem. Like Alan West. It's a great thing. We're all doing it. No, it's not a great thing. It's evil. 1 Samuel 28:3. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And this continues on throughout the, you know, throughout 1 Samuel 28, 2 Kings 20:21-6. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. 2 Kings 23:24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And on the examples go. Familiar spirits, not a good thing. So, you know, a few final verses, Isaiah 8:19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. And they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. Isaiah 29:4, and thou shalt be brought down and shalt speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. So, this idea of, you know, familiarity and the familiar spirits is not a good thing. That's what it is. That's, you know, people, there is no holiness. There is no set apartness that you can discern. And I don't see how it is edifying. I don't hear that in the folks that talk about this. Like I said in the first hour, I see Hollywood and I see celebrity, and I hear that in the things that these people say. So, well, get back into the Galatians aspect when we come back from the break. We're headed into a break, so we'll do that first. The juxtaposition of Jesus Christ and the law. More on that when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, O come, thou Lord of might, who to thy tribes on Sinai's height in ancient times didst give in cloud and majesty and awe. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, shall come
back. Bottom of the second hour already. That was fast, wasn't it? Let's dive down the rabbit hole of the I am the law deal and be done with that so that we can move on, shall we? From Galatians 2 and Galatians 3, I mentioned the Judaizers, and it seems that there is a legalistic impulse at work here. So to continue and finish, from Galatians 2, continuing, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Verse 17, Galatians 2:17, picking up there. But if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. Again, you have to go back. I read what comes before this and Paul's confrontation of Cephas in verse 11. So, continuing, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. So how would that work exactly, if Jesus is the law of Moses? I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Do you see how could he say, I am the law of Moses? I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, here's Jesus, here comes righteousness, then Christ died needlessly. Wait, what? How did that work? What just happened there? So into Galatians chapter 3, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit, capital S, and works miracles among you, do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Even so, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. It's the promise. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. So, does Jesus bring a curse then? Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all the things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone who hangs on a tree. In order, you know, as Chuck Missler says, people, you know, you ask the question, he made the mount on which the cross stood and the wood that he was nailed to and the nails. So what held him to the cross? And it was love for you and me. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations, even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is, Christ. What I'm saying is this. The law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions. Having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if the law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But the scripture has shut up everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law, being shut up to the faith which was later to be revealed. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ. Is he leading us to himself? He would never say, I am the law of Moses. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. So, do you understand the circular reasoning that would apply if Jesus said, I am the law of Moses? Well, you know, he's saying it figuratively. No. You know, maybe we should play that clip of Dallas Jenkins saying, no, it was sort of like, you know, you're at a party and, you know, somebody says, I'm going to call the police. And you say, bro, I am the police. There is that kind of casual vernacular in the series, too. It's, again, familiar spirits. So continuing, therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I wrote a piece about that, sons of God. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this is not in the, you know, hermaphroditic, you know, androgynous sense that we're seeing in today's society. Not in that sense. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So, there you go. The law was added. For what purpose? It became our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, as it is said. You know, dead to the law, effectively. Paul says more than once, all things are lawful. If you've died to the law, all things are lawful. Not all things are profitable. Not all things edify. And, you know, so as some have observed, do you realize, you know, some folks have, you know, like Bob Chapman at Calvary Chapel in Post Falls, used to sort of quip and say, Lord, do you realize how much trouble I can get in? And the Holy Spirit says, yeah, that's why you're supposed to draw near to me. If all things are lawful, because you've died to the law. For But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus would never say, I am the law of Moses. In simple terms, hopefully that makes sense. And it's a much, obviously, this is not trying to split hairs over semantics and play gotcha. This is a much larger issue. That's the point. And this is a profound error. And it has, I would say, legalistic tones and implications. And that's dangerous, to say the least. You don't want to play fast and loose with these kinds of, tenets of doctrinal foundation, I would say. And, maybe the last thing to say about that is what we read, speaking of Galatians 1, 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. That's no small statement. So it's a sobering message. There's more, and I guess I will continue and we'll wrap this up tomorrow. I'll give you some other things. I just wanted to address this controversy in a way that I haven't heard anybody else do. The whole quoting the Book of Mormon thing is a straw man, in my opinion. The bigger issue is Jesus would never say that, and therefore it's heresy. And so at some point, with all of the evidence that is available now that this television series is in its third season. We can return to Dallas Jenkins' statement that his profession that the intent is to portray Jesus in a biblically accurate way. I think that we need to acknowledge the definition of apostasy, the abandonment of what one has professed, a desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. And there is evidence of the abandonment of what Dallas Jenkins has professed. And that is by definition apostasy. And as I said yesterday, the roots of the etymological roots of the word apostasy connote a revolt or a rebellion. And you can see that, these people are doubling down on the Hollywood and celebrity. And who is honored and glorified? Dallas Jenkins, obviously, Jonathan Rumi, obviously, and all of the cast and all of the, and it's a very, again, it's a very familiar thing. People saying, oh, it makes Jesus so relatable. That's called familiar spirits. And that is not good. Biblically speaking, there is no evidence to support that being a good thing when you hear, oh, it just makes him relatable. He is holy. He is set apart. Sure, he is relatable in a certain context, but not this. He's not a bro, as, to use the crude, crass vernacular. And, I mentioned yesterday, one of the other things that is denigrating, speaking of blasphemy and that which derogates, to refer to John the Baptist as Creepy John, That's, if that's not obvious blasphemy, when he is described as the greatest of men, greatest of men born of a woman, greatest among men. I mean, then what is? We are in perilous times. And you can see with this kind of celebrity and idolatry and, you know, people with stars in their eyes, where this is headed. I think it's pretty easy to see that. Stick around. I'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Segment in closing, you know, the call to be holy. What does that mean? is issued and reissued repeatedly. You know, for example, you see Leviticus 11, 44 and 45, 19, 2, 20, 26. You know, over and over this call, you know, God says, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel. Who is that now in the New Testament? You know, who gets grafted in already? You know, who are the children of the promise? And say unto them, ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. I think that's a good word to close on. I guess we have moments for a couple of calls. Real quick, Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris, do we have the law of Moses? What is the law of Moses? Is it the words of God on Mount Sinai, or is it the transliteration of the Levite priests in the temple? That's the big question that I have.
Okay.
What is the law of Moses? I think I got a peek into the true law of Moses in Exodus 22, verse 29 through 31. But the rest in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, it seems rather harsh and somewhat in contradiction to the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, I think, is our peek into the true law of God, or the true law of Moses, or true law that God gave Moses.
There isn't a contradiction there,
and
perhaps we can address that later. We don't have time for that now, so I appreciate it. Oh, that's it. I guess that's it. We are shorter on time than I realized. Apologies to Pat. Thanks for calling, Tom. I hope it was edifying. And as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.